I think we're looking for that other safety to play alongside of T-Rap. There's been really good moments for all those guys back there, Young and some of the more veteran guys that are back there and have played for us. But I think we're still looking to find who is it going to be and how consistent can they become and how quickly can they grow if they're a younger player. And you're always looking to figure that other piece out. Right now for us, we know who T-Rap is. We know what he brings to the table. It's what other piece can go along with T-Rap.
Sean McDermott, Bills with questions in the secondary. With or without Maxwell Hairston for week one, we'll see. No real good-sounding news on that front. But again, the, you know, obligatory headed in the right direction.
Right.
But imagine hearing headed in the wrong direction.
A ways away, though, I think was also said today. He was on the bike. I saw him. I saw footage of him riding the bike. So you can't take that away from him. He had a big brace on his knee, but he was on a bike.
803-0550. Also, we're talking about the safety situation. Let's go to Bill here. Hi, Bill.
Is it a saga yet?
Hey, guys.
No.
I wanted to comment on, the comments from McDermott. You know, it just seems to me, based on what he said, that no matter who wins this job, if they're on the roster currently, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of trust that can be put in who he actually selects to be the starting other safety. So, you know, I kind of had a little bit of an issue with him saying that, only just because what kind of confidence am I supposed to have in Hamlin or Bishop at this point? Because I'm not sure what they're going to do in this last preseason game, and I'm not sure, you know, obviously we don't get a too detailed look into practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the comment, you know, kind of just put me off of both of those guys, because now I have no confidence that they're even confident in who they're going to select. So
yeah,
that was just my comment there. But I had a question that kind of came up in the office earlier about preseason scheduling. Kind of random, but is it common to play a team in the preseason that you play in the regular season?
Not especially, and I don't know enough to pontificate on how that happened or how exactly the schedule comes together. I've always thought that the teams have some say in it, but maybe not. But no, it's not common that you would play somebody like the Bills and the Buccaneers here who will see each other later on. You know, you could – it's an interesting perspective you have, Bill, on the point there you made about how they were talking, how McDermott was talking. Like, either way, I'm not going to feel good. And really, like nothing – pretty much nothing else is going to happen before the opener that should be informative. So, you know, he's talking less than glowingly about his options. And I'm somebody that prefers that. I want the honesty. I want to know as best as possible, as much as it's possible to know what he really thinks. So I guess you have to pick one or the other. Maybe, and because this happens often enough, where a team will have an issue and they'll talk like they don't. Because they don't want whatever it is they don't want. They don't want the players to be, you know, looking over their shoulder or to yep. feel like they're, you know, in trouble, or they don't want the fans to do that or the media, to, whatever it is. Like, that's just how it usually sounds. But here, I have to say, I appreciate that he's just not pretending.
Does it strike you as a departure for him at all? Because I don't have, like, him talk, you know, I don't have it memorized, you know, like, I can't recall exactly how stark he's been about, you know, different positions and battles and whether it's going to work. Like, you know, I don't remember how, you know, I know he never sounded like he loved Kyer Elam when they were trying to get that off the ground, but I don't remember it being as pointed as this. And I don't know. I'm venturing toward, like, is there some change in the dynamic there? Like, is he trying to use this in a way that he hasn't before? Like, I mean, obviously
motivation.
He can obviously go to the player, and I'm assuming he's done that the whole time he's been here. And you know, we need more from you. I need more from you. You're going to win this job. Whatever, like, you know, whatever kind of pep talk, rattle the cage type thing you want to do for motivation. So it would surprise me if he's using this news conference to send messages to the players themselves. I think
a couple of things might be true.
Okay, good.
Is it a departure? One, he really has not had that many quandaries over the years where it's really been sort of there's a conversation, and this one is just starting, about a player or a position. So he hasn't had too many chances. You know, his team has been so good. I would say that's true. I would say just using logic, too, he, as each year goes by and the Bills win another division title, he's got all the more reason to feel comfortable in his own skin. Like, not maybe like he would have been or any rookie or young coach might be, where you're worried about the consequences of your words. I don't think he has to worry about that, and this might just sort of subconsciously free him up to be more honest. I think we've all said that about McDermott in different areas over the last couple of years, that he's, you know, more willing. He came on our show last year to talk about fourth down, and he's like, I don't have any secrets. I'll tell you exactly how we do it. He would not have talked like that in 2017. In fact, it was quite the opposite. So I think there's that too. And I think he might be frustrated by one particular, this is three now, this is the last one.
Fine, keep going. I love it.
By one particular issue that I think also just logically could be more of a problem than ever as teams are more cautious with injuries, and it's decided by whatever the team of people is that come together to make these decisions, you're coming off the field. The joke about the cart, he's really not hurt, but we've got a cart. Everybody's playing it safe. Such a long summer. We've all seen the charts. Really, there's not that much value in this practices preseason like we used to think. So just quit. Anything, you feel anything, come off the field. And that could be, and I think usually would be, annoying for a coach who has come up from a different generation where you played through it. Mm-hmm. And he's got, you know, last week he's got 15 guys on the injury report. Who knows from Curtis Samuel? You know, who knows from some of these guys? Like, could they play? I mean, regular season, they probably do. But these days, you know, we're going to play it safe. And now he's got Bishop. And there's that word again, consistency. He hasn't had enough of him on the field to really know what he's got. And I think that might be all he's saying today.
Mm-hmm.
Is he just has not been on the field enough for me to feel just like there's no reason to read into it. He told you his thought. Like,
he doesn't know what the guy can do yet.
I don't know what we've got.
He's been here. It's a second season. He's starting with this guy on the team, and he doesn't know what he can do yet.
I don't know what we've got.
That
injuries are a part of that.
All right, good job.
So all those things together, maybe this is the result where he's just going to be more forthcoming. And I think injuries are the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's consistency or, you know, last week's source of frustration, it's really kind of all tracing back to that. Let's go to Mike here. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys? Quick thing, and like yet again, here we go, another off season of us discussing one of Bean's top two draft picks, whether he can play or whether he's this or that. I feel like it's becoming a yearly thing now. Was Kincaid or Elam or Coleman? And maybe it's just time that he just can't evaluate talent in the first two rounds. I mean, and then you can say he does hit, because not every person team is going to hit. But it seems like more or less, even A.J. Epenesa, I mean, I don't know, he's a B player, C player. There hasn't been any many hits in the first two rounds other than Allen and, you know, Deion Dawkins and things like along those people. But in the past few years, every offseason on this time, we're having the same discussion about, is this player good enough? Is this player good enough? Well, does McDermott trust him or this or that? Why? No, I feel like we have this another conversation with no one else about this.
I'm not going to pick at that commentary, but always with the draft, the conclusions a lot of us are in a hurry to make when it's just so few players or examples. Was he great at it? Then he's bad at it. Or was maybe he like almost every other GM in history, apart from the truly terrible ones, where like Mike Mayock or somebody, like the vast majority of these guys are kind of all the same. They have the same staff of people, the same information, And, you know, it's not all that, but I just never think that even that many players is enough to draw some conclusion about it. And we're talking about Bishop now before the second season of his career has even started. And he's hurt.
Right. He did just return to practice on Friday against the Bears and then looked bad in the game. So, you know, I think it's fair to point that out amidst these struggles. But the coach, again, doesn't feel compelled to share that today when he's talking about his however his frustration with the situation is coming out. I mean, he's telling you today they're not sure who's going to be lined up there on opening night. And so, you know, as much as I even want to try to temper, you know, what the criticism on Bishop from Sunday night with he just returned to practice, McDermott's not tempering anything. You know, so I don't know. The analysis, it's another high pick, yeah, but you're ignoring, who are you ignoring? Guys who got second contracts that were also first or second picks, Oliver, Rousseau, Osiris Torrance. So, you know, it's not like he can't find guys. It's just, you know, it's a guy they're counting on, and they've had a luxury, like you said in the first segment, of that being locked down prior to last year, and now they're really kind of scrambling.
Bishop picked 60 last year. I mean, this is late round two. Previous year, late round two was Torrance. We like Torrance?
Torrance is excellent.
Previous year, it's James Cook.
Right, Cook was another one. I'm sorry, I missed him. Right.
Pick 63.
Yeah.
So because Bishop hasn't done more yet, we're going to lump him in with Kyrie Elam. Even Coleman is kind of, it's early to talk like that, I think. I'm really not a huge fan.
But I'm bullish on Coleman for this year. I like him a lot.
That's because you're a fantasy hound.
Yes, I can't get enough.
You gotta have those 40 catches.
I keep getting him at the turn.
That's funny.
I couldn't put a round on it because I was going to guess and it would have been probably way off.
Oh, the turn. Love the turn.
Where 8-9
yeah,
turn?
Yeah. All right. That's really exactly right. Yep. 9, 10, 11, even sometimes. The turn.
Yeah.
Here's Steven next. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, couple of things real quick. So, first of all, the safety situation is a big concern for sure. Rapp's still injured. Hopefully he'll be ready by the first game. And then, you know, DeMar, he you know, I know he started last year next to Rapp, but he just doesn't look as good as he should for, you know, he's getting paid, what, $2 million a year, I think. So, you know, and with the other, you know, the other guys in question for the safety situation, that is a big concern on the defense. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I'd like you to address this. What I've been hearing is that the Bills, okay, you may have addressed this because I just tuned in a little while ago. The Bills are talking to Gabe Davis. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the case, I'm looking at the fact that, okay, Josh Palmer, he looks very promising. He looks great. Elijah Moore looks really lackluster thus far. And then, you know, you got Curtis Samuel's injured. You got Shakir still dealing with the upper ankle injury. Keon Coleman looks really good too, but let's face it, we need more depth at our receiving core. So do you think that the Bills are talking to Gabe Davis to possibly bring him on board?
Yes. And, you know, would there be another reason to do it?
No, I'd absolutely look at it as the reason why they would want to do that. He's already got rapport with Josh.
I can't imagine there's any reason to have a meeting with Gabe Davis if you didn't want to consider having him on your team. I doubt it's for nostalgia.
I doubt it's for nostalgia, but teams, I think, sometimes will bring guys in and make it known that they're seeing him to just sort of help the process along for the guy. That could be it. But the way that McDermott's talking, I mean, we haven't even talked about what he said about receiver today, which was also as, you know, somewhat as pointed as what he said about safety. Like, we know who the top three are. The rest of it is like, you know, we got a bunch of guys and I don't know who's going to be on the team at this point. So the Davis thing, could be for later down the road, too, if he's had health problems. Let's just see where he's at. Is he healthy? And if we get to a point where we feel we need him, at least we know what he is, like what kind of condition he's in. So, like, I don't know. I didn't take it as, like, that, you know, they're going to bring him in here and sign him tomorrow. They could, I suppose. I mean, it's not laughable that they would do that, but I'm not expecting it. I guess I would be surprised if he ended up on the roster this quickly. I think it's more like, let's just keep up on how he's doing, and if we get in a situation where we need a guy and he's still available, we know where he's at.
Okay. Be hard to know the difference if they don't do it. Well, I mean, it's be hard to know the difference if they don't sign it between that and, yeah, I mean, he didn't pass his physical with Jacksonville. It's just not there.
Right.
But if Allen wants him, I think he'll be a Bill. Feel like it'll be up to him.
Yeah.
Is that obnoxious to say? It always feels obnoxious to say, but I have to admit that's how I feel sometimes when it comes to the receivers. You know, he got who we wanted in the draft a couple times. You know, Davis was a really good Bill. You know, he did a lot. It's Twitter, but Twitter always reads to me like everybody just decided they hated him around here, and I don't get it. Like, he wasn't perfect. Fourth round pick. Man, he had some huge moments for this team. He was important. You know, he was important.
Yeah, I'm not against – if he's healthy, I don't have a problem putting him on my team, I don't think. But who am I putting him on the team in place of?
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, if he's got health problems and I'm soured on Curtis Samuel because of health problems, what am I doing? You know, but my biggest issue with Gabe Davis was always I was not going to want to pay him what he was going to get for a second contract,
right,
for what he is as a player. And that's over.
Like, no argument with that.
You don't have to worry about that anymore because you're going to get him at – he's getting paid a ton of money from Jacksonville still this year. So he's veteran minimum if you sign him. So money's not an object there. It's more, you know, how much do you trust him to be healthy? Because really, when he started maybe going the wrong way with the fans here, it was health was maybe what the biggest problem was for him.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Thanks for your calls. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.